You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, everyone. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's Tuesday, March 17th in the States in California. So happy St. Patrick's Day. I hope you're all wearing green. Have your green drinks. If it's a matcha, green beer, a green tea, a green soda, whatever it is, hopefully you're in the spirit and having fun. I know it's only 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time right now in California, and we have a heat wave going on. So what more fun things to celebrate than I'm at the river, so it's 92 degrees, palm trees, blue skies, a little bit of wind, blue water. The West Coast is having a heat wave right now, so we get a taste of the summer on St. Patrick's Day. So the biggest thing to say right now is woo! So if y'all listened last week and you listened to what we were talking about, actually it was 2 weeks ago, listen to what we were talking about, you know, like go out there and do the woo! So it's St. Patrick's Day and go ETH! Oh my goodness gracious. So I told you all we were going to have this bounce back in March. The Fed is announcing tomorrow, we anticipate that the rates are going to stay flat, so it's built into the pricing, but go ETH, and I'm going to tell you why the rally is happening and why we anticipate even a bigger rally coming up, and our next leg up is going to have a big jump. I'm very excited. You don't understand how excited I am. We went up over like 10% in less than 24 hours. But our big jump, we went up to go ETH, go ETH, go ETH. We hit 23.84. We went from, let's see, where were we at? We were at hovering around the twos, like that 1950 to 2050. And it was ranging really, really tight. That's usually what happens right before a breakout, is a tight range. When the range is loose, it's like in a 250 to 500 range. That means the range is like the bottom where it taps, and then it goes back to the top, and then it goes to the bottom, and it taps and goes back to the top. We were in a really tight range, like 50 to 100. And a couple weeks ago, we talked that usually when they're in a tight range, that means we're going to have a breakout, and we had the breakout. And I'm going to tell you the reasons why I anticipate it's going to go on a next leg up. Potentially like 25, 25, 50, 27, 50. But again, do your own research, not financial advice. Go ETH, woo! And I'm going to talk about that in the show. So get excited. There's some stuff going on. So when we price out things also, we do predictive markets, we do predictive pricing, we do based on what's going on in the world, the economy, geopolitics, what social, economic factors, psychological factors, CPI, with the Fed's meeting, unemployment, all these things take into consideration. And then based on this information, then we have predictive modeling and what we predict is going to happen. Plus we do TA and chart analysis too, but I look usually 1 month to a year out, and then I factor in all of the information that would influence our chart. And then I predict 1 day, 1 hour, 1 week, 1 month, 6 months out on where I anticipate it's going to happen. And back when I was talking to y'all, I said March was going to be our uptick. And then June is our next uptick also. And we're in that new cycle, that February 5th to May 5th cycle. Again, do your own research, not financial advice, but go ETH. And I'm going to tell you guys why in a little bit. I just want to get y'all excited. Financial markets in crypto are doing great and they're doing strong. And I'm going to tell you why crypto markets are doing good versus all the other markets aren't doing as strong, but crypto markets are really strong right now. And we'll talk about that in a little while, but let's have some fun first. You know, like y'all don't want to just hear just financials in the very beginning, but I'm going to tell you as we go along. So you're going to see where we target, everything's going to be hitting. I'm going to give you targets. I'm going to tell you why, and then wrap it up when we close out the show. Inspiration, what's going to be happening in the next week, month, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So first off, it is St. Patrick's Day. Go green, go ETH. Do you have your matcha? I didn't get my matcha today, but I anticipate having some type of a green drink today because it's St. Patrick and Patrick's. And, we all have to at least celebrate somehow. We do Cinco de Mayo, we do St. Patrick's Day, we do what, Valentine's Day, 4th of July, all those fun things. It's a reason when there's beautiful weather to get out, go out, hang out with your friends, and just, have fun and spend some time together, spend some quality time with your family and friends, enjoy the beautiful weather, laugh a lot, right? The goal is laugh a lot, have fun, get excited, have an amazing life. And the only way to do that is like to spend time with your family and friends. So I'm going to go over a couple of fun things about St. Patrick's Day, which is interesting. So St. Patrick's Day historically was from like the 5th century. St. Patrick was a Romano-British Christian missionary credited with bringing Christianity to Ireland. So that was like the original roots of where it happened from. Born in the late 4th century. So here's an interesting story. He was kidnapped at age 16 and taken to Ireland as a slave. Interesting. So we're celebrating green beer, green Lucky Charms, all based off of this originally. We have to find some person to talk about it about, right? So after 6 years, he escaped. And then later, he returned voluntarily as a missionary. So key points, there was always these rumors saying that he had led the snakes with a whistle or a horn and brought the snakes out of Ireland. So hypothetically, that's supposed to be a myth. So traditionally, this date circuits back to 461 AD. The exact year is uncertain, but that's where it's based out of. And let's see, it's symbolized by the shamrock symbol. So that's like the symbol of good luck. The four-leaf clover, the three-leaf clover, that's the symbol of good luck. But they say that it was explained as like the Holy Trinity. So that's interesting too. So it's not confirmed by il early historical sources, but it appears later in folklore. So why did they choose green? So originally, the color associated with St. Patrick was blue. That's interesting, not green. Green became the dominant because Ireland is called the Emerald Isle. So the shamrock's green, and then the Irish nationalist movement started in the 18th and 19th century, and they adopted the green as a symbol. So now, ironically, Ireland only began large public festivals to celebrate St. Patrick's Day in the late 1990s. It's almost 1500 years later. We created this holiday, we created this event, an excuse to get with your family, friends, go out and be happy, drink green beer, do Irish limericks. If you're part Irish, I'm part Irish, like celebrate part of your heritage. I have strawberry blonde and freckles, so you can tell I'm Irish. And then you're able to like go hang out with everybody. And I remember as a kid, like everybody, you'd always have to wear green when you went to school, and you would hide your green so that people would pinch you, hypothetically, if you didn't have green on. And if you did have green, I remember like one of the things was if you had green, you got to punch them. So the things that we remember as a kid. And so it's kind of funny, even this to this day, I like will still have some form of green on me on St. Patrick's Day. It's just like one of those traditions that you carry along with you. Just like on Cinco de Mayo, we go out and we eat tacos, or on Taco Tuesday, we go out and have tacos. We carry on these traditions. We carry on these, like memories as, something that reflects to our past, and we carry on kind of as a legacy into our future. But it ties us to our past, it ties us to great memories, it ties us to things that we remember. And in carrying them on, even though it may be a silly holiday, is like an excuse to go out and have fun. Because as adults, besides trying to find an excuse to go have fun, do you just spontaneously go out there and have fun? Are you enjoying your life, or are you doing the thing like we talked about a couple of weeks where you go to work, come home, eat your dinner, go to sleep, wake up, go do it again, right? So like if we have these fun and adventurous things in our life, it makes our life exciting, and and we get an excuse to go out and have fun and celebrate and see family and friends and wear green and have a green drink and, you know, create something, even though maybe the way it started in 460 AD wasn't the way it intended, but it gives us life and excitement, and it gives us some kind of thing to look forward to and creates an excuse for us to go have fun. You know, as adults, we're not supposed to have fun. We're just supposed to go to work, go to sleep, go to work again. But, you know, bring joy back into your life, bring excitement back into your life, and this is one of the ways to do it. So, okay, time for my sip of water. I don't have anything officially green that I'm drinking right now, but I'm going to have my sip of water. And then we're going to talk a little bit more excitement about the tech and what new tech has been coming out. And you guys are going to be like thrilled to hear what's going on. Okay, so y'all probably can hear the birds in the background. I have my patio open. Again, it's like 92 degrees outside right now, but I can see the water, see the breeze. Patio's open. You can hear the birds tweeting in the background. They're very happy today. So if it was a little bit later on, there'd probably be a lot of noise and people having green beer and running around being crazy. But right now it's just the birds and the nice little wind, and everybody's kind of chill and kick back today. So there's been some exciting things going on in tech too. And I'm, you know, being in this industry, being in technology, we like to do research every day and find out what is new and upcoming, what's being released, how everything is influencing our lives and technology and in the future. And there's a lot of exciting things going on right now. So think about it. When I'm talking to different people about technology and what their perspective is and like what's been going on in the world, they always talk to me about, oh, remember when we used to watch movies, or, you know, time travel, or when movies were coming out and they were talking about aliens coming, and, you know, when there was going to be flying cars and you could have instant food and you could, with some other things that happened, the monorail system, which ended up, Disney ended up building that out. And so like, there's all these different things that movies throughout history would predict what they thought the future was going to look like. Oh, flying skateboards and Back to the Future and flying cars and, you know, like all the exciting things that you're like, oh, you know, this is supposed to be what the future is going to look like. All the things that we didn't think we could build out hypothetically in the future. But the thing is like, as we got closer, I remember people saying, like in 2021, 2022, is like, where's our flying cars? You know, like, where's our instant food? Where's our teleportation? You know, what's going on? How come we don't have all these things in the future like we should? Well, guess what? The day is here. We have flying cars now. And I'm going to tell you all about that. So it's kind of exciting. There's this thing going on that with the FAA. And they just gave approval. They gave basically a temporary approval. So if you've noticed, there's a lot of drones right now. So I remember probably about 3 to 6 months ago, there was all these drones in the sky. And people didn't know where they were coming from. They just saw a bunch of drones, but they were smaller drones. And then they have drone light shows. They have drones that can go and look when you travel and see things at a distance and then come up close, follow cars around. So the drones can have cameras on it and it can, you know, fly pretty much anywhere. The type of licensing that you need for a drone is different than an aircraft because it has a different type of airspace. And so it's limited to the type of airspace it's in. You have to have a certain type of permit to fly a drone. You have to be in special airspace to be in a drone. But most of the drones have always been, you know, like small size. They've been a laptop size or the size of a water bottle, you know, they're like small, right? Well, they've built out bigger drones, you know, like man-made size drones that can carry one person. And then they've been testing those out. And so those have certain types of air restrictions where they're not allowed to land on a street. They're not, they can hover, but when they go to a stop, they have to have a specific airspace. And so they have different rules and regulations that govern those type of drones. And so And like Mr. Beast just did a drone, a man, solo man drone flight. I don't think he's released it yet, but he was filming in one of the towns that I'm at, one of the towns that I'm from. So like Shell Beach. So he was filming over there. And so now the FAA officially released, it's been kind of like under wraps. So we've been hearing bits and pieces and different parts of the stories, but they selected eight pilot projects across 26 states under the Advanced Air Mobility. It's called EVTOL, Integration Pilot Program, with the operations expected to begin in this summer, 2026. So the goal is to gather operational data and develop the regulatory framework for safe integration into the national airspace system. What the technology is these are aircrafts that are generally EVTOLs or adjacent advanced air mobility aircraft. So the slang for it right now is they're calling them air taxis. In plain terms, they combine helicopter style, vertical or short takeoff capabilities with airplane-like forward flight. And the FAA's 2024 powered lift rule created the operating framework for this category, which the FAA describes as the first new aircraft category in nearly 80 years. So they're having 1 to 4 manned drones that can do vertical takeoffs, fly forward, and be in the airspace as quote unquote like an air taxi, so flying cars. The core technical stack is propulsion, distributed electric propulsion using multiple rotors or propellers rather than one large rotor. So normally a helicopter has like one large rotor, it has multiples. This improves the redundancy and control authority. And then they're an all-electric tilt propeller aircraft. Joby's aircraft uses 6 tilting propellers. So the flight profile is vertical takeoff and landing, ultra short takeoff, then transition to a wing-borne forward flight for efficiency. Now, autonomy. Most are near-term passenger aircraft are piloted, but some participants are focused on high automation or autonomy, which means basically like self-driving cars. Potentially, there's going to be self-driving flying cars or these drones that are a hybrid of helicopters and a drone and a flying car, basically. So remember, in 80 years, this is the first new class that they've come up with. Now, self-driving, self-flying, autonomous air taxi, and reliable robotics focuses on full aircraft automation. So automation is basically self-driving. Now, the energy architecture, some are battery electric, while others are hybrid electric systems to extend range and reduce charging dependencies. Electra's ELO uses a small turbine power generator plus batteries feeding 8 electric motors. So these are the companies you want to take note of this. These are the companies that are doing it. So it's they're involved in the FAA pilot program and the core EVTOL ecosystems. Now, doing research, not financial advice, but when a test pilot program is announced, and it's been 80 years since this any new classification has come about, and these are basically the beta testing companies that got permission to do this in 26 states, you want to be aware of these names, so write them down. So Joby Aviation, Archer Aviation, Beta Technologies, Wisk Aero, AERO, Electra Aero, Elroy Air, Ampere, AMPAIRE, and Reliable Robotics. Now, the companies most directly leading the US quote unquote flying taxi push are the Joby, Archer, Beta, and Wisk. The strongest disclosed strategic funders behind them include, these are who's funding these projects, okay? Take note, Toyota, Boeing, Stellantis, United Airlines, BlackRock Managed Funds, QIA, Fidelity, TPG Rise Climate, Amazon's Climate Pledge Fund, Lockheed Martin Ventures, Honeywell, Safran, and Hawaiian Airlines are funding these projects. So, something to take note, y'all. Flying taxis, autonomous, flying cars, drone hybrids that have the potential to start flying people around all over, have the zoning, have the preliminary approval, the testing with the FAA. Something to take note. Something to take note. So I wanted to talk about something, you know, fun and exciting. St. Patrick's Day, flying cars. Y'all, we are in the future. We have, you know, AI agents or agent AIs that are doing tasks for us, right? We have AIs that will have personalities and voice and answer phones and send emails and call people and talk to you and, you know, try and be as human as possible. Animation that can be generated in seconds. We have movies that can be produced within milliseconds just based on prompts. You know, we've been talking about AI and new technology for a couple of years now and said, you know, this is where everything is moving towards. And now, if you're all in the thick of it, pretty much everybody's in AI. Now, one thing I want you all to remember, you know, like we have new tech and we have digital assets and drones and AI and all these things at our fingertips. The thing to be consciously aware of, too, is remember, this is all new technology. So whenever you're in a beta phase or you're in a new phase and you have that learning curve on how to adapt with it, make sure that you're keeping in place your privacy, you're keeping in place morals, ethics, values that are implemented into what you're using. If you're letting go of controls and you're having these things be autonomous for you, just like when they first started self-driving cars, there's that learning curve, right? So just be cautious, be aware, get excited about what's going on, but also, you know, you're human, you're the one in control, you're the one who makes the ultimate decision. Yes, it can make things easier in your life, it can help you out, it can give you data and research and information, but not everything is foolproof yet. It's fun, it's exciting, it's new technology, it's things that we get to try out, but this is all new, right? It's new. We're living in the future. We're living in the things that we used to say, oh, watch the movie and one day that will be our future. Or, you know, watch the cartoon that says that one day this is going to be our future. We're living in it right now, but living in it right now creates responsibilities, creates, you know, implementing your human nature to make sure that what you're giving permission to reacts because it doesn't necessarily have a conscience. It's doing based off of what is going to be the highest productive use, but it's not using empathy, values, morals. It's not using cognitive reasoning to make a judgment that a human would make. It's going based off of data and then the highest and best result based off of that. And something to like think of, it's kind of funny. I was watching Silicon Valley, I think it was during COVID, but it's been out for a bit. And we see these little snippets of it coming out. And they had, quote unquote, told their AI to do different tasks. And one of the tasks was to find the cheapest hamburger for them for lunch. He assigned him the task, and the AI delivered 500 pounds of raw hamburger meat to their location. And ultimately, it fulfilled the need. It did exactly what it was programmed to do. It found the cheapest hamburger for lunch, but they got 500 pounds of hamburger meat. So you have to think about, you know, like, we just assume when we say a prompt or we tell somebody something that they will understand because they're human. So we're having communication with somebody, kind of, you know, you assume that the other person understands what you're talking about. Well, the AI, you have to think of the AI as like an infant. It only understands the data that's been inputted, and it can only reference the data and the information that it can gather at that moment, or can research or find, and then summarize it and give back to you and spit it back to you based on what it thinks is supposed to be what you want to hear. So there's something else that I want to tell you all. I mean, it's exciting. AI is fun. I use the other AIs just like for, you know, fun things and, you know, new technology, do a little bit of research, but I always ask my AI to provide me sources and references so I can verify all the data that it gives me is actually factual and I can locate it somewhere else and have like scientific research based on the data. And then I also cross-check all the information that comes over. And that's just like the fun AI. So like ChatGPT and Gemini, Bing, although, you know, like the fun ones that they have out there, and IG, WhatsApp has, you know, AI. Slack has an AI too. So it's like not all these AIs are accurate because they don't have enough data. But I'll do it just to, you know, find out how it's going to respond to me. And out of curiosity, I queried ChatGPT just to see what kind of a feedback I would get from it, because we have our own AIs that we built out, but on fun stuff, I'll use the other sources. And I queried ChatGPT and I asked it to give me data based on ETH prices just to see how it would respond. And the information that it sent me was what it calls hallucinated data. It wasn't accurate data. It gave me, I said, okay, based on ETH prices, hypothetically, give me all of the data on the ETH prices every time the Fed met, just so we can get for context what the Fed, what happens with ETH, usually based off of when the Fed meets. And because I'm going off of my own personal data, and usually I know that 3 weeks right before the Fed meets, we'll have a rally in the market. Hypothetically, if they think the market, if ETH, let's see, if the Fed will keep rates flat or they anticipate a cut in the rates, because that usually rallies crypto. And if CPI comes out lower than expected, that usually rallies crypto too. So usually at the same time, CPI is coming out 3 weeks before the Fed, and so we have a rally in the market. So as if you noticed, 3 weeks ago, we had a rally in the market on ETH, and then people profit take, and then we had a rally over the weekend too. So I queried ChatGPT just for the fun of it, just to see how it would respond based on the information that I'm asking for it to provide me. And what it did is it gave me fake data. So it gave me some of the data that was accurate, but it actually gave me data that did not exist and data in the future that was the wrong price, which is interesting. Unless maybe tomorrow we rally to 35.50. Who knows? We may do that. And maybe it did predict it in the future. But I confronted ChatGPT and I said, okay, this data is inaccurate. Where is your source? Where did you get this data from? And I'm going to have to read you all the response. Hopefully I can do it from here. This is funny. But this is why I want you all to be aware. Like, everyone's scared that AI is going to take over jobs and it's going to get rid of middle management, get rid of white collar, which, you know, doing tasks, potentially it will alleviate a lot of tasks like emails and phone calls and all that stuff. But ultimately, when it comes down, good data input is going to get good data output. And if you don't have good, reliable sources giving you good input or fact checking and verifying the data that's getting outputted, you're going to have a lot of skewed data out there floating around, which means a lot of companies potentially will tumble because they're relying on AI. They're not verifying their data or their research. They don't have people in place to make sure that the data that's coming out or what the AI is doing has controls in place. And that's key, that people don't understand. Like, you can't just let the reins go, let it go loose, and then just believe everything it says, right? So here's what it told me. I'm going to read it to you, which is interesting. And it's actually quite funny that it did this yesterday. So I'm going to give it over to you. We do a lot of we ask for what's trending right now, or fun stuff. We never ask for actual factual data that's going to be utilized unless it's our own AI model. But if we use third party sources, we do it for fun stuff, just to get fun ideas or what's going on in the market, or just to see how it responds to us. So, oh, and I also have another thing to talk to you about, Pokemon Go. So remind me about that in a minute. So this is what it responded to me. It gave me data. This is really funny. Okay. I after it did this response, I had to clarify, even though I clarify every single time I ask for something, I say I only want verifiable real data. Cite the exact sources. If there's any unknown, say it's unknown. Do not estimate. Pull from the current market, not something that they made up. Explicitly only use verified information and cite sources. And I'm in strict data mode, and I have to repeat that over multiple times because it's like a child. It's like, ha ha, I'm going to give you something and see if you know what I'm talking about or not. Here we go. Now, so what's happening? So I said, what happened with your model? Is OpenAI trying to become more like Anthropic and Claude Bot? I'm not seeing accurate information or data come over anymore. I'm seeing a lot of made-up data. Are you creating your own information and not pulling real data from sources now? I queried it. It said, short answer, no. I'm not switching to making things up on purpose, but what you're noticing is a real and known failure model of all large language models. Okay. OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, etc. It's called hallucination, and it hasn't been solved yet. So let's break it down precisely. What's actually happening, the mechanism level, these models don't retrieve truth by default. They generate the most probable sequence of words given patterns in training data. They're fundamentally probabilistic, can't talk today, probabilistic systems rather than data, and then rather utilizing databases. So when uncertain, they can output plausible but false information that sounds correct. Wikipedia is quoting this source. They gave me the sources of why he's not giving me the correct data. OpenAI's own research states clearly hallucinations are, quote unquote, a fundamental challenge for all large language models, unquote. So this includes ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, Grok, no exception. So why you're seeing it more, it's happening more often. There are three structural reasons you're noticing it, okay? Models are optimized to answer, not to say, I don't know. Training systems reward giving an answer over refusing an answer. So they're rewarded internally for giving an answer versus not giving an answer. This creates a bias towards confident guessing. Models are incentivized to guess rather than express doubt. Business Insider wrote an article about that. So instead of no data available and quoting that there's no data available, you get here's a clean but wrong data set, which it gave me false data. And I know what the data is. I was just seeing what it would give back to me in a response. I have the data, I have it all documented, I have all of my data stored. And so I asked ChatGPT to give me its data set and find sources to compare. And it gave me prices 1,000 above what the actual price was. So reasoning models can hallucinate more convincingly. Ironically, more advanced models produce better structured, more confident wrong answers. It can fabricate entire data sets, timelines, or sources. Some research shows newer reasoning models can even hallucinate more frequently in certain tasks. So Life Science wrote an article about that. So I asked it to sort its sizes, its resources, and I'm getting where it's getting its information from. So that's why it feels worse. It's not always more wrong. It's more believable when wrong. So basically, we're training AI to lie to us if it doesn't know the answer. It gets rewarded to give us false information that sounds confident and believable, even though the information may be incorrect. So if you're relying on AI or a third party and you don't have the data and the information, make sure you request resources and cite and make sure it only gives you valid information. If it does not know the answer, prompt it to tell you it does not know the answer. So there's no live data unless explicitly grounded. So if a model is not pulling from real-time sources or forced to cite verifiable data, it will infer or interpolate. That's what exactly happened when it gave me quotes. It generated a typical behavior, but it didn't give me accurate data. It like gave what a probable scenario was, but not what the accurate information was. So our models becoming like Claude, which are more cautious. So Claude will do tasks and it'll perform tasks based on your query, but it's like a low level tech. And so it will be autonomous and like come up with its own ideas and try to create its own ideas and do the task based on what it thinks you want to do, but it doesn't have enough data sets to give you accurate information. So if you're doing low level tasks, you're okay. But if you're doing high level information, you don't want to give autonomous free will and control to the AI to run free when it doesn't have enough information to give you accurate data and execute accurately, right? So are models becoming more like Claude, more cautious? Yes, but with trade-offs. Claude tends to refuse more often, which is probably good. If it doesn't know what it's doing, it will ask for clarification or it won't do it. But OpenAI models tend to answer more aggressively because they get rewarded. So this creates two failure models. Model behavior, which is more cautious, Claude style. The failure is it refuses too much, which is probably safer though, because then you're not having an AI do things that you didn't ask it to do because it assumes that that's what you want it to do. The other model behavior is more helpful, ChatGPT style, but it hallucinates more, which basically it gives you false information confidently because it's trying to give you an answer so it can get rewarded. So there's no perfect balance yet. So remember, we are in the beginnings. We are in new technology. We are in the infancy stages of it. Yes, it's moving rapidly. Yes, it's moving exponentially. Yes, it's moving fast. And it can do small tasks for us, but don't become dependent on it yet. So when they're saying that they're laying off hundreds of thousands of people, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get chaos if it's not getting correct input, verified data, and confirming before the AIs have evolved and grown and are able to do tasks correctly and give accurate information. Right now, they're getting rewarded just to give you an answer. They don't get rewarded if they tell you they don't know the answer. So something to think about, y'all. You know, we're in this age, we're getting flying cars, we're getting flying taxis, we have autonomous cars, we have autonomous, you know, everything, right? You hand it off, it goes and does your emails, calls people for you. You know, one day it may be crank calling people for you because it thinks it's fun and it gets rewarded for it. But something to consider, something to think about. It's exciting, it's new, but we're still in the infancy stage. Okay, so I just wanted to go over that a little bit. I do have some fun stuff. I'm going to tell you a couple other fun things. I'm going to tell you where I anticipate the market's going, and then we're going to wrap it up and do cheers for St. Patrick's Day, green beer, do your shots. But let me take my sip of water and we're going to get into the fun stuff again. Okay, so the other thing that happened, I'm going to say this really quick. Pokemon Go, y'all remember Pokemon Go, where you had to go all over the world, take pictures of Pokemon, put it onto your app, and then get points for it. It was, the game to find Pokemon all over the world. Well, basically, you were collecting data, so that they could have photos and videos and images all over the world. It's basically having millions of interns running around collecting data so it could upload into AI. So that happened. So Pokemon Go just announced and released the information that it collected, I think, over 30 billion points of data. So instead of just having satellites that look down onto housing structures, we now have 3D models because people went out and found Pokemon everywhere and uploaded the information, and they collected all those data sets, and now they have Pokemon. Because of Pokemon, they're able to have 3D models of different structures for the last 10 or 11 years that they've collected over that information. So that's interesting that that's just been released too. I'm giving you all the tech trend investment stuff, right? We talk about what's going on in tech, what's been trending, and soon we're going to talk about the investment. Again, do your own research, not financial advice, but lots of fun things happening on the world right now as we evolve and grow and new technology comes out. And where you get your information, the AI models are only as good as their input. And the more data and the more information we're able to input that is clean, not junk, clean, 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 then the more output that we're going to be able to generate that is clean also. So that means you need good resources going in, which is high quality, educated, scientific, data-driven people putting in the input so you can get good, clean data coming on the output, right? Think of like a washing machine. If you throw in a bunch of mud into it, yes, it's going to clean your clothes, but they're going to be, dark and gray and stuff. Versus if you put in clean clothes with bleach, they're going to come out clean, right? So what you input is what you're going to get on your output. If you're cooking food and you have a big pot of ingredients and you have like a stew and you put a pound of salt in, that's one of the ingredients, yes. And you put like an inch of meat and one carrot and one onion and one potato, but you have a pound of salt in there. You're putting in the right ingredients, yes, but your output, your stew is going to be all salt. So think of it that way, right? So what we put into AI, what we put into our data sets, what we put into our information has to be good and clean so our output comes out good and clean also. Okay, here we go. Other thing. Here's why I anticipate financial markets are going to keep rallying and going up. Do your own research, not financial advice. Here's the exciting part. Go ETH. I anticipate us hitting a couple of targets. Our next target's up. We had our 2201. So we had 2101, which is our first breakout. We broke that. We broke through that. It was range trading. It kept hitting on ETH, pulling back, ranging tight. Then 2201 was our next range. We kept tapping that, range trading tight, pulling back, tapping that, and we broke out of that. Once we hit that 2250, that was our key. I put in all our chats. If you're in the holders, if you're in my personal chats, I said 2250 is our key. We broke out of that. Once we did the 2250, we hit 3350. That was the next key. Go, 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 ETH. So that was our next key. Once we broke out of that was our next leg up. And then after that, we hit the 3384, 3384. Now, we've been for the last month, we've hit all-time high, which is our 2384, right? I anticipate that we have the potential to go to the 2406, 2455, 2504, 2600, and up to 2750, 2850. Now, the things that are moving the market right now is people move money from investment to investment to investment. So people were in gold, then they moved into oil, then they moved into alts, then they moved into crypto, then they moved into meme coins, then they move into stocks. So they rotate in and out of different investment vehicles that are going to give them the higher returns. That's one reason why. Number two, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. Digital assets, you can move money fast within milliseconds. You don't have to wait for a market to open or close to get into your position and to be liquid. The biggest thing about being in an investment vehicle is to make sure that you can be liquid fast. In crypto, you can be liquid fast, which means you can buy fast or you can sell fast, right? If you're in a stock, you have to wait for the market to open to execute your sell. You have to have a buyer, and then you get market price. So if the market's going down in 3 days, you have to wait for the opening to get your market price to sell. In crypto, you can move in and out. When we have a fluctuation in crypto, you can hedge your position. Like we talked about hedging, right? Go long or shorts on it. You can hedge your position. You can stay in it. You can go into the probability market, get the 1,000-to-1, hedge your position, and stay in crypto. You can also move in and out fast. When they're trying to do cash, and we're going through, you know, our wild cards right now, so we have turmoil in the world, people are able to move money fast, country to country, friend to friend, family to family, business to business, fast. You're able to move money fast. You don't have to wait for a wire transfer. You don't have to wait till noon the next day. You don't have to wait for the paperwork to go through. You just send the money and you get it instantaneously and cash out and you have it right away. So people realize that digital assets are the way to go. So it's good for investment. It's good for liquidity. It's good for fast moving. Do your own research, not financial advice. That's the other reason. Okay. So, and then stable coins. This is a big thing. And this is also how everything's built up. We had the Genius Act of last year. Stable coins became part of it. All the big banks, BlackRock, mutual funds have stable coins now. Stable coins are backed by cash and the federal notes. It's the way, and I'll tell you more of a fact on what I'm talking about. So stable coins, we did an article, a Medium article on it. So stable coins, you can move your money from crypto into stable, which is a digital currency. You can move your stable coin into other forms. You can use stable coins as a form of payment, but it's backed by treasury bonds. Treasury bonds sell debt of the U.S. government. It's backed by treasury bonds. It's backed by cash. And so stable coins, all of the different banks and everything are moving into stable coins. They're funding the U.S., which strengthens the dollar, adds more liquidity, gives a better interest rate because the treasury bonds pay a 4-5%. The stable coins invest in the treasury bonds. They back the stable coin. The stable coin gets a return of 4-5%. They have people paying money on the transactions on moving in and out of stable coins, which is a digital asset. People can pay with stable coins instantaneously, which incurs then crypto becomes strength. Bitcoin, ETH becomes the, again, where people move from stable back into Bitcoin and ETH. They can move instantaneously. They're getting a return on their money. They're strengthening the economy. They're strengthening the dollar. They're getting a return of 4-5%. They're backed by the U.S. Treasuries. The Treasuries is eliminating the U.S. debt. And now we're not dependent on any other nationals to carry our debt because stable coins are able to carry the debt. So it's just closing thought, something to think about. Do your own research, not financial advice. We have more articles about it and we'll talk about it more in extensive, but I'm very optimistic on crypto for all of the reasons that are going on. Feds tomorrow, flat rates will probably be flat. It's already built into the pricing. Go ETH. We still anticipate uptick on ETH. Do your own research, not financial advice. But we have about 10 to 20 different things that are supporting that we believe that ETH is going to hit 2 all-times this year. We anticipate a big pump in the market potentially near June. And we also anticipate that ETH has the potential to go to 2750 to 2850. Go ETH. Lots of reasons, lots of positive things going on. Do your own research, not financial advice. And we will see you again on Tuesday. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Thank you again. And say woo. Woo!
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.